You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
All right, here's the question for today. What's holding you back? Today, we're going to look at a couple of verses in Hebrews and talking about what's holding you back. Now, think about this. If you want to write these things down, that's fine too. But I really want you to be a little introspective today, if you don't mind. I know you may have a lot of goals, but where is it that you really want to end up? What is it that you really want to do or be or achieve? What is it that if you just really stopped and said, you know, my ultimate goal is this? People talk a lot about goal setting and having all these things, and I know you have short-term goals, long-term goals, but give me the biggest one. Get in your head, you know what? Here is the ultimate goal for my life. This is what I want for my life. Everybody got that in their mind? Maybe you've never thought about it or never really nailed it down. What is your goal? Secondly, what is keeping you from reaching that goal? What is keeping you from getting there, being that person? Whatever it is you got out there, what is the thing between that and you right now, what is keeping you from getting there? Have you got that? All right, what sacrifices are you willing to make to see it really happen between now and then? What will you do? What will you give up? What will you go through in order to end up wherever that is? Because guys, what happens is it doesn't happen because that goal stays out there and we get closer and closer to death, if nothing else, and we think, well, one day I'm going to do it, and one day, and one day, and one day add up to less days to get there, and one day you wake up either on a deathbed, and you go, what happened to my life? I never did this. Why didn't this work out? Or you end up in a nursing home somewhere, staring at a ceiling, wondering, you know, something didn't happen here like I thought it would. How do you today say, you know what, that is the goal, that is where I should be, and make sure the goal you have is right, and then say, it's not going to be easy because for some reason I've been putting this off for years anyway. What tangible steps, what am I willing to do, concrete steps that I can take to get there? All right, let me read you some verses in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. He says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. If you go back into Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 11, he gives this huge list of all these great people of faith, people that trusted God, believed God for unbelievable things. Some of them were like Moses and Abraham, Noah. Some of them were obscure people. A prostitute is in the list, mentioned that had faith. So it's not a certain kind of person. It's all kind of people. There are great people listed that did tremendous things for God and just saw great victories. Then he lists at the end of chapter 11, people who were literally sawn in two for their faith. They were martyred. They died because they believed something. They made their purpose of their life to share the gospel, to tell people that Jesus Christ is the one that made a difference in their life, and it cost them their very life. So anybody that tells you, come to God, give your life to Jesus, he'll change everything, you'll be wealthy, healthy, and it's all going to be okay, you can't back that up with this book. Anytime you hear somebody saying that, watch out, because it's not in here. There are people that got hung and cut to pieces and it's just a disastrous ending for them. But the life ending was not the ending of what they were about and who they were and where they were going. He says here then, there are all these people who have gone before you. Some the end was great for them in this life. Some it was disastrous. But they were people of faith. They finished strong. They hit the finish line. They hit the goal that they had set. They made it. In Hebrews 12, he says, therefore we also, like this great cloud of witnesses, these people, and he gives the picture here of a stadium, an arena, a place filled with people where you're out there running a race. There are some people who are runners that have already gone. They're in the stands watching you who've already gone on. But he says, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, this great encouraging crowd, let us, the ones who are in the race, lay aside every weight. I need two volunteers. Here, you come up here. You're big, strong. And now if I pick somebody else that's weak, you know what I'm saying? I need two. All right. Let's see. You know, I've already picked on her. You come up here. The hearts. Hearts balloons. Yeah, you'll never sit up front again, will you? That fix that. All right, if I take these two people and we go out here on the street and I say from this corner to that corner, we're going to have a race, okay? Of course, we're Baptists, we don't bet. But if you're going to put your money on one of these two people to win, which of these people would you put your money on? The lady, there we go.
That's a good loser's out there.
Yeah, well. Which one? I mean, it makes sense, right? We'd say he'd probably beat her. Okay, now. Here's what we're going to do. Hold this. All right. Now if I take this chair, you got it? Now, if I keep stacking junk on him and I take him out there and I say, pick a winner, the more I stack on him, the more it's looking better for her. You see what I mean? He looks like a winner. You okay? Now she looks like she's going to beat him the more I put on here. Now, if I take this guy and I said, look, I want you to run and beat this lady. You can run with this stuff or without it. It's up to you. What do you want to do?
Without.
See, it's a no-brainer deal. You say it's a race. I want to win. I see the finish line. I know what the race is. It's however many yards, whatever it is. Man, get this stuff off of me. Because it's a pain. It's heavy. It's an encumbrance. You might make it eventually, but it'll kill you. It'll just weigh you down. Have you had enough?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there we go. All right, let's let you hold all this now. No, that's fine. Thank you, guys. Okay. Let's give them a hand. All right. Now, you see what we're talking about? See this thing as a race. I mean, you'd be absolutely nuts to go into an Olympic stadium, and if it was just not filled with people, but with famous athletes who had won the Olympics for years and years and years, and you are surrounded by all these winners, all these people who know what it is to run, who know what it is, you're going to want to do your best because you're being watched by the pros. No one, I mean, you might walk out there, but nobody's going to walk out there in army fatigues with a backpack and all kind of junk on them and go out there and line up on the blocks and say, go and take off. They'd say, what, is he crazy? But if that looks so ridiculous, then why do we do this stuff to ourselves? If it looks so ridiculous visually, and he describes this race where you say, well, yeah, I'm here to win. I'm here to run. There's a race set before me. I know what it takes. I'm going to run it. And if you go back and study the Olympics in these early days and these runners, they literally, nobody but men, went to these things and they stripped down. I mean, he is describing something that happened here. These guys would take everything off at the last minute to run because they did not want anything to slow them down. Now, if you take that analogy, it's like stripping down in a spiritual sense and saying, God, I want everything gone from my life that's holding me back. Now see, there are even good things that are not best things. How many of you jog? You run? That's something you do. Oh, I feel at home. You know where all those people are? Running. They don't come to Lunch Talk. They're out there doing that crazy thing, running. If you've ever run, I remember in high school, I hate running. I just don't get into running. I don't even run like running in packs. I mean, I'd rather play basketball or anything, but running, I'm not into that. But if somebody in here said, if you said to me, you know what, I'm going to run a marathon. I got a friend that's a triathlete. This guy is, there's not an ounce of fat on his body. It's just unbelievable. He's not big muscular. He's just lean. He's just fast and rides bikes and swims, all this stuff. But if you looked at me today and we picked you, what's your name?
Willie.
I said, Willie, you're the Lunch Talk. We're going to make you our representative to the marathon in New York City. And he's supposed to represent us. Something's going to change in Willie's life. He's not going to eat this food anymore. I mean, if he made his goal and his purpose, I am going to win the Boston, the New York Marathon, he would change a lot of things in his life. It's nothing wrong. I mean, I like 32-ounce chocolate shake at Whataburger. It's just kind of one of my things. But if I decided to lose 5 or 10, 20 pounds, I'd start drinking different things. I'd start eating different things. I'd wake up. I'd run. I'd exercise. There are things that I'm doing that are not really that bad. They're just not best. So that's the first category he gives. He says, lay aside every weight, anything that's just there that you could shed, anything that's in your life. Now think about those things. Well, it's not that bad. It's not the end of the world. But you know, if I really let that go, I'd probably run a little faster. I'd be a little leaner. Then he goes to another category. Think about that first circle, then come in a little closer. And then he says, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Now I can start right here at this table. And I'm not going to, by the way, so don't worry. I could start right here and go person to person to person. Or I could start right here. And I could say, you know what? The sin that so easily ensnares, I can tell you immediately what it is in my own life. And we can go right around the room. Everybody's got one. Some people it's gossip. Some people it's lying. Some people it's sexual addiction. Some people it's, what else could it be? Something you know somebody at your table has a problem with. There's not like there's new deals out there. You're not going to come up with some secret thing nobody's done or got. There are basic things that we all struggle with. And you've got yours. And you've probably struggled with it for a long time. And I'm telling you, you can shed some of this other stuff, but when it gets right down to it, the sin that so easily ensnares you, the one thing, you shed all that other stuff, and there you are at the blocks or in the race, and you know in your brain, you say, you know what? If I just let this chair go or let this thing in my life go, I could haul. I could run this thing. Why don't I let this go? Now think about what this is, because guys, I've struggled with stuff and sometimes it may change, but I think the sin that so easily besets you or ensnares you, for some reason it doesn't change a lot of times. It's just something the enemy knows about you. He knows he can hit you there. He'll lay low for a year and then knock your head off with it, set you back, get you out of the race. And what he does is when he's successful at that and he knocks you down, you're still in the race. You're just sitting on your backside on the ground, not going anywhere. Some of you may not be in the race for one thing. Some of you may be in the race. You've just sat down on a curb somewhere and kind of just quit. But what do you do if you find yourself sitting on a curb in a race and you can't take it anymore? You either sit there till it's over or you die or what? You stand up and say, I've fallen again. I can get forgiveness. I'm going to run again. I'm going to get up and keep going. See, if the enemy can get you to go down and stay down, his first priority is to keep people out of heaven. If he can keep you away from God and keep you away from anything to do with God and destroy you eternally, that's the first deal. If he can't do that and you come and you find this eternal life in Christ and you're going to die and live forever, then the second thing he's going to try to do is kill you. If he can take you out physically, then at least you're in heaven with God and out of his way here making trouble. But if he can't take you eternally, and he can't take you physically, then he's going to steal everything you've got in your life. And he's going to try to set you on the bench, on the sideline, get you out of commission so you're not doing any damage while you're here. And there are a lot of people that live that way. They sit on their backside on a curb in the race, and they can't figure out what happened and why it's not working anymore, and the devil's fine. Man, you just sit right there and make yourself comfortable, like you said. They get comfortable. Well, you know, woe is me, and I'm a screw-up, and I'll never amount to anything, and, you know, I'm just lucky I'm going to get to go to heaven. I ought to be just happy with that. An abundant life, that's for somebody else. I'll just be satisfied with eternal life, and we'll just sit here till it's over. And hopefully somebody comes along and reads your verse and says, hey, a crew comes running by you and says, let's go. I can't. I've messed up. Hey, so you messed up. We've messed up too. It's a long race. But let's go. We'll help you. We'll run with you. We'll run alongside you. We'll help you make it. That's the body of Christ. That's this church thing. It's not a building. It's a people. So there you sit at a table, or here we come to this deal, and one week somebody's up and somebody's down. You see a friend, and man, something bad's wrong. And you come alongside them and say, come on, let's go. Let's keep running. I'll help you. Let's dust off. Let's get things right with God again. Tell him what you did, but let's go. Confess it. Leave it alone. Set it back down. What do we do, though? We set it down. You know what? I forgot something. We run back and pick it back up. I can't live without it. God says, yes, you can. And if you will live without it and live just with me and stay lean and mean and run a machine, just you and me, you'll get there a lot quicker. Now listen again. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and then do what? Let us run with endurance, with patience. One of the most dangerous things about living a Christian life or any life is you get going and you get on a high. Something good happens. You close a deal. You talk to any salesperson in the room. You close a deal, contract goes through, something happens in the office, we're all going and blowing, this is great, 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 and then all that dies down. Here's your next quota. Here's the next project. And everybody goes, shoot, here we go again. There's never enough. And it's that long haul. This is not a sprint, guys. This is cross-country racing. And it is a long way to the finish line sometimes. And you've got to have patience. You've got to have endurance. You've got to hold on. You've got to do it on a daily basis. You've got to keep putting one foot in front of the other. And sometimes you hit the wall. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Your body says, we're not going anywhere else. Your heart says, I can't take it anymore. And God says, I can, trust me, put another foot out there. Keep going. You're going to be okay. Not by yourself, but with me. Run with endurance what? The race that is set before us. Now, let me tell you one of the most freeing things I ever discovered, somebody ever shared with me. I'm not running your race, and you're not running mine. God has set a race before me. I can't run your race. You can't run my race. My job is not to keep up with you. My job is to do what God put me here to do. Lay aside every weight, the sin that so easily ensnares me. Keep my eyes on the finish line and run my race. I'm not running against you or some clock. I'm running, and hopefully you run, and I run in such a way that I'm doing everything I can with what I've got, and that's everything because I got Him. And I take it one day at a time, and I run the laps, I run the cross-country race, and when I hit the finish line, either I die or He comes back. You want to hear, well done, good race. Good job. Run your race. You say, well, I can't be like you. Don't be like me. Or I say, I can't be like so-and-so. I'm not that smart. Or they seem to be going faster. Don't worry about that. This is not a competitive thing. It's about letting God live in and through you and run through you and let Him do it at His pace. You may run faster than I can, but if I'm running at my pace and God's using me and it's working, then let's go with that. What is the ultimate goal? Look, and He says, you've got all these witnesses. They're the ones watching, but what are you running toward? He says, here's what's at your finish line. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And He ran a race. Now, He didn't have anything that ensnared Him and a sin that so easily beset Him. There wasn't any weights in His life. He was a perfect man, died a perfect sacrifice on a cross, and was buried and raised from the dead to make all this possible. But if you're the God of the universe living in a body and you get to some garden and you realize in a few hours you're going to be hanging on a cross dying for the sins of the world, He obviously thought this thing through. This is not some cakewalk. And He finds Himself in a garden saying, Father, you and I have been talking, I've known you forever. Is there a way out of this deal? This is going to be literally hellacious. I'm going to suffer hell, eternal damnation, all this stuff for these people. But what does the Bible say? But for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame. Why? Because He saw the other side and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Our problem is, all we see is the problem. If all Jesus had seen was the cross, He'd said, angels, get me out of here. There's enough is enough. But what did He see? The joy that was set before Him was, if I will suffer, if I will die, if I endure the cross, then all these people can know my Father, and the job will get done. So the pain is what was in front of Him, but He endured the cross, despising the shame of hanging naked on a cross, and all that went with that. He saw through the cross to the joy that was on the other side. I hated running as a kid, but I wanted to play basketball on the team, and I had to be in shape. Every morning I got up to run. You know what? I hated it. I had to meet a guy to be accountable to even do the running. And every stinking day we'd get back from the run, I felt like $1 million. So what did I have to do the next day? I couldn't think about the running. I had to think about how good I was going to feel when I got home. Some of you people want promotions at work. You're busting it. You're working overtime. You're doing crazy stuff. What? To try to prove you can do a job and get a promotion, a little raise of some kind. You're making all kinds of sacrifices for monetary reasons, for some different position, right? We do it all the time. It's a pain in the neck right now, but somehow you've seen beyond the pain to your purpose, to the progress you're going to make as a result of it. And you hold on and you endure it. And you say, what am I doing here at 8 o'clock at night? But you stay, you get it done, and hopefully somebody recognizes that, and boom, here comes the reward. Not always. Somebody said over here, a coworker, there might be a problem. You've got to get past the pain, and you've got to say what? God, give me faith. What's this whole chapter 11 before this about? It's about faith. So I say, God, if I lay this thing, for instance, this sin that so easily besets me, if I've got this problem, God, I can't live without this. If your deal's smoking, I'm not telling you to quit smoking. If God tells you to quit smoking, quit smoking. But I got buddies who are trying to quit smoking because God told them to quit smoking, and it's painful. Their body says to them, I want a cigarette. Now their heart says, I don't want a cigarette, and their body and their brain are going back and forth arguing about this cigarette. And they don't smoke that cigarette, and it hurts. They're physically in pain. And whatever it is you've got, your flesh, your body, your old nature says, I will have what I want whether you want it or not. You got to decide what it is you want and look at what's between you and that and say, what am I willing to stop or give up or do that'll help me get there? Even good stuff has got to go sometimes to be as focused and as intentional and as successful at getting there. Now, I think the ultimate goal of anybody's life is to glorify God. My goal for my life is to do whatever I do so that everybody says, what an awesome God. When you walk out of this room, here's how I'll tell you if it's successful. If I get up here and speak and you walk out and your heart says, man, what an awesome God. It isn't about me. It isn't about us. It isn't about some church. It's about Him. And you look at the finish line and it's Jesus. And you say, you know what? Jesus, you did everything you did to glorify the Father. I want to live that way. So I'll give up anything. I'll do whatever it is. I don't want anything to hinder my running this race to accomplish what it is you want me to do, and that's to glorify you, that you get all the credit and everybody knows how awesome you are. So whatever you see that's got to go, let me know, and we're going to shed it. Now, is it easy? No. Is it worth it? Yeah. It's worth it. Where are you going? What have you got to give up, or what's it going to take to get there? And are you willing to do something about it? Are you willing to lay it down? What is holding you back today? Because nobody can lay it down but you. We can talk about it. You can get counsel. But at some point, you and God got to have a conversation. You say, God, I'm laying it down again. I may pick it back up, but for right now, I'm laying it down. And I pray for the grace and the faith to run this race the way you intended for me to.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
Let's pray a minute. Father, thank you so much for these people, for this place, and most of all that you're here. God, it's just a long haul sometimes, and we can look back and there's stretches of it where we ran, we did great, it worked out, and either we slipped and fell or it seems that somebody's knocked us over and it's out of our control, relationships, business, loss of a job, something happened, we got knocked down, and now we're deciding whether we're going to lay there or get up. Lord, for those that find themselves, for whatever reason, down, I pray for grace and strength and the faith for them to stand up today and say, you know what, enough's enough. I'm wasting my life. I know what's right. I got to get back in the race. And Father, for those who are not even in the race, this whole God thing is just a complete mystery. It doesn't make a lot of sense. But somehow today they may have heard and understood for the first time that this whole thing about Jesus dying, being buried, raising the dead, is for them, that you suffered, you endured the pain, endured the cross for them, because you knew that if you did it, they could be restored to a relationship with your Father. Father, for those people, I pray today that it's in their heart, they'd say, you know what, God, I'm the one, I'm not even in this race. I'd like to get in the race. I'd like to know you personally. I'd like to have you in my heart, in my life, living in me and through me. I receive this gift of eternal life. Father, we love you. And we thank you for loving us. And we pray that you would use us today to bring honor and glory to you and use us in somebody else's life, someone that's hurting, somebody that's down by the roadside, out of the race, to be an encouragement to them, to help them get up and keep going. We love you and we thank you for loving us, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.